overflowing with love. I am overflowing with happiness. I am filled with the power to make a change, to create a brand new life.
Welcome to the podcast of the Sunday Celebration from the Center for Spiritual Living in Huntsville, Alabama. We hope you feel the grace, the beauty, and the love of our community as you hear the message of the week. Many blessings to you.
Good morning. Such beautiful sacred space has been created here already, with the music from John and Teresa and the heartfelt words from Jody. And everything just feels so beautiful to me right now. I could just cry, so I may do that. I'm just warning you. And, you know, the love in David's heart that says, please speak in my absence, and the honor of that, you know, it just really hit me, and it's always a privilege. And the solstice event, I've had the great honor of organizing that now for, I believe this was my 12th one, and I'm just always in awe of what comes out of people when they give themselves permission to shine and speak their truth. And Friday night was just amazing. I didn't get to see everyone's hands that were here. Would you show? Oh, lovely, lovely. I always appreciated David for honoring the speakers on the talk that would follow. And so I'm feeling it that day. So I would like to use their things just to inspire my own heart flowering in that particular area, not to say anything that is like what they said, because what they said is so perfect. And if you weren't able to be here on Friday night, there is a recording of it on our Facebook page. So if you need to know how to get to that, let me know, because I'd love for you to see that. It was powerful. We had a lot of people here, and there were a lot of people watching the live stream, so it was just beautiful. And our first speaker was Paul Fulford, and it was just the perfect topic to open with, because he talked on the emptiness of mind. And, you know, just the moment that someone speaks those words, if you've had the direct taste of that, and you know that place, you're just there, just the moment those words are spoken. So Paul had me right away. And in that, he shared from his heart how he had a very magnificent, wonderful, but busy mind. And he began to ponder what it was like to know the emptiness instead of the chaos of constantly thinking. That's a summary. It's not what he said. But it's kind of how it landed in me. And I know that because I've spoken before, and many of you have been in the classes that I participate in, and you know that awakening came for me, like Jesus said, a thief in the night, because I wasn't on a path consciously to, I didn't know anything about it, really. Other than Christianity, I knew a little bit about that. But I didn't understand what was happening for me. So my consciousness naturally wanted to go into a very natural kind of meditation and contemplation, because all of a sudden I had this thirst to know more. And in that quest, I would just find myself going into a state of meditation, and I wouldn't know I was meditating until maybe a half hour later, and I realized that that's where I've been. And what I can tell you for me is that I began to notice that that was lovely, but in my everyday living experience, how could I carry that to where it's real and it's a manifestation of who I am? And so the practice became not just to meditate, but to actually inquire into some of the narrative I was witnessing that was running like a program. So meditation and self-inquiry became very instrumental in the freedom of a chaotic mind. And, you know, what I discovered also is that awakening truly looks different for everyone. And that's perfect, isn't it? That it's authentic and real to each one of us exactly as we are. Because this is awake, it's always awake. It's only our little dreamy minds that limit our perspective and give us the illusion of a world that's way too small for us. And with that, you know, you begin to open up and realize that the mind itself, our conditioning, our triggers, all of it is so deeply innocent, totally innocent. And so much of it we inherited. It didn't even originate with us. That's why we love our generational healing, and we love to go deep into healing and exploring ourselves, because we not only liberate that which is bound, but we are the compassionate presence that knows nothing other than itself. And the deepest embrace is that one that comes from yourself to yourself. When you enter out of the matrix of duality from a non-dual perspective, you step into everything is that. She's just saying so beautifully, it's all love. This is true, and it includes what the mind interprets as not love. It's so inclusive that it includes that, innocently. So how do we get to our innocence? It's in the ability to observe without judgment. I think Einstein said that a long time ago. So as I went very deep with Paul. Then there was Anastasia. And it was so lovely to see her in her element and to speak so beautifully on the divine artist. And she took us into a journey with snowflakes and her experience of that stillness and that beauty of deep, deep snow and the glorious, just glorious showcase of so many trillions of little snowflakes coming down and how they're all so perfect and so beautiful. And I could so relate to that because I grew up in South Bend, Indiana. And when you live in the Great Lakes region, you get a lot of snow. And I remember as a little girl, the back door was all snowed in, you know, and Dad would have to get out there with a shovel and so we could get out and run in the snow. And so that journey really hit home for me, and it is so beautiful. I remember a moment, and I think I might have been about 6 years old, and it was almost turning dark, and it was near time for me to go inside, and there was a ton of snow on the ground, and it had a blue hue to it, and the stars were beginning to shine, and it was so silent. That might be my first recognition of myself as stillness. But of course, it was fleeting, and I wasn't very contemplative at that age. But it's interesting how it still comes back around. So I really, truly enjoyed that talk. And then Adam spoke, and his topic was simplicity. Wow. His talk was very, very short. It might have been 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes. Yeah, it's very simple, but it's very straight to the point. Adam, at a very young age in 2015, had a devastating stroke. And there was Adam before the stroke, then there was Adam after the stroke. And that, you could hear it, was a spiritual awakening for him. He didn't know what to call it. But all of a sudden, he could cut into bok choy while cooking and look at the root and see a mandala. And again, I could resonate with his story, because after my awakening, all of a sudden, I noticed flowers and the sounds of birds and bees and things that I just took for granted before. And I realized I was living in a magical kingdom. And I'd never seen the world that way. Just so glorious to be friends with Adam. And when he speaks, I feel like I meet him right there through my own lived experience. And to me, that's when it's real. When you can just not have like the fantasy of something, but you can draw on your own experience and go, yes, that's a deep yes. And then we had, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Ariella. Okay, great. Ariella is next. And she's a lovely lady that's a nurse, and she's usually working, so she doesn't come that much on Sundays. But she shows up a lot for Satsang on Wednesday nights. And she was just glowing as she talked about her niece that she's in the process of adopting and how much they love each other. And she took us to the mystical place of being little souls agreeing to incarnate together and love each other through hard times. It was just really touching how she brought it. She just wove it so beautifully into how her life is and how she sees from that greater perspective, from the soul level. And then she played her tiny little harp, and her friends sang a chant, and they took us into a lovely experience. She also shared with us a blessing where we could wish someone that they know joy in their life. And she had us do that with ourselves, with someone we love. And there was someone that we don't get along with so well. And she talked about how that opened her heart and really opened her to fierce love, because she was afraid of the love and the connection she was already feeling for her soon-to-be daughter. Just a beautiful experience listening to everyone as they shared so deeply from their lived experience. And you know, our stories are powerful when we share from a place of our healing. They have this the power, you know, almost everything in that Jesus spoke of were parables, because these stories are the way the heart tricks the head into a deeper experience of our human nature, which is equally divine. There's nothing that's not that love, right? You feel into that. Your mind will argue points of views. But you see how, if you look closely at the mind, it's always working in the realm of opposites. This is why Buddha had a very simple teaching. And I'm not sure it's him, but I think it's him. I didn't study Buddhism, so I'm guessing here. They just, in my own experience, there just came a point where I saw so clearly how preferences were falling away in my experience. Beliefs were dropping off of me. I wasn't trying to get rid of them. That probably would have kept them there. But when they fall as they do, as you expand beyond the limited scope of mind, the mind itself gets to open up to its own magnificence. Because everything is true nature. That's why everything is innocent at its core. So when you drop out of the idea that I got to focus on something good, you're automatically bringing some energy to its opposite because you're believing in this. Belief always has an opposite. You got to. That's why they say all belief is for the mind. Check in with your heart. This is where we start to live intuitively, from heart knowing. You've awakened out of the matrix of the beautiful, practical mind that has many great benefits in our lives. We can do genius things with our minds. But when it comes to truth, you've got to go a little deeper. And that's why everything we do here is heart-centered, because this is home. And you're not choosing good because you believe in bad. You're choosing what you love, what feels good, what feels right. That's our intuitive knowing that gets reasoned away, right? So we drop down. It's Teresa saying the other night about dropping into who we really are. What we really are is a universal mind. that has no issue with the local mind, because they're one and the same. One's just kind of in a parenthesis. And when that parenthesis is seen through, it doesn't have to go away. It's transparent to the greater mind you are, pure consciousness. And this is what we are. And pure consciousness is love. And when you think of consciousness as the creative element in the universe, and that's what you are, love is always creating itself. And it loves so unconditionally that it knows nothing of your story, that something's good and something's bad. It only knows itself. So someone shared this morning in our circle from a very vast perspective that good was coming. And I could feel the truth of her, because she wasn't coming from being afraid or resisting the bad. She was coming from a pure knowing, and she was trusting how she felt in that. It was real. It wasn't a theory. I'm looking at these empty chairs, remembering who sat where, who spoke next. I can see that better than I can see this paper. So after Ariella was Virginia. Virginia Burroughs is a light. When she walked in for practice on Thursday night, and I was watching her walk in, I just thought, well, she doesn't have to say anything. She could just stand here and be Virginia, and it would be enough. If I could have chosen a talk for her, which I do sometimes if people can't decide on what to talk on, she spoke on peace, and she did it beautifully. But I would have asked her to speak on spiritual maturity, because for me, that's what she represents. She's very comfortable in her skin. She's not afraid to feel what she feels and to express that sincerely, as if there was something, you know, so many times we hold back because we're remembering a spiritual concept that says we shouldn't be that way. It's another form of violence. And that was something I noticed in myself after the awakening, was that I was very violent with myself. I was going through that netty-netty phase, where you're seeing through the illusion and you're going, this isn't true, that's not real, da-da-da. And it's a very natural phase of the awakening, because you're conditioned to view everyone and yourself and the world through a lens of your conditioning. Epigenetics could play a part in that. But when you get through sorting all of that out, you might find yourself in a very dry place for a little while, which I did, where the body was illusion, everything was illusion. I'd kind of inquired myself into some corner. And then I began to question that. So I was still in inquiry. And all of a sudden, instead of being like so dry, like someone would die, I go, well, there's no death, you know, that place. Something happened, and when I inquired into that, I began to notice my heart breaking open. You know, David's always breaking open. I was starting to do that. I was like, oh my God, I'm becoming David. But it was really sweet, because I, as an addict, for most of my life, lived in a place of withdrawal. And that non-dual far place was a very comfortable place to go. What wasn't comfortable is all the feelings I'd been running from forever. And when I really stopped even trying to sort out what was real in the way of feelings or emotions and what wasn't, and I just allowed them to be without that judgment of mind, that the emotions and feelings were being treated in the same way thoughts were now, the other half. And then something really began to integrate into my life. And I noticed that the mind might have a judgment, but I didn't. the mind might be triggered, but I wasn't. And this was kind of like schizophrenia. And a friend, a Facebook friend from the Netherlands, sent me an article on the schizophrenic divine mind. And there's a period of time where you can feel like, okay, I'm in two minds at once. What's going on here? I'm watching my body have its reactions and everything, but I'm not. How can I be divided like that? Well, isn't it beautiful that you can be so aware of that dichotomy happening within you? And when you don't follow either one, and you stay as the pure equanimity of what you're experiencing, it just kind of comes together in its own time. Trying to force it would be trying to divide it even more. Just begin to deepen in that awareness that any form of resistance is actually juice for drawing in the very thing you don't want. When you rub your hands together, there's resistance and there's heat. And heat is fuel. Who is next? Let's see. Claire, yes. Thank you for that. Claire comes to our generational healings. And she beautifully participates a lot. And we were so delighted when she finally said, I think it's my day. And David got to play her grandmother. And she talked about her grandmother who raised her from the time she was like a year old because her mother died. And her grandmother raised her for 20 years. And then she passed. And she had a moment where she was really busy and was trying to rush to get to another class, I believe, in college. And she could smell her grandmother's scent. And she just took a moment to just be with that, to remember her beloved grandmother. And then she went about her business, rushed out, got on her bicycle, and noticed that just seconds ahead of her, there was a horrible accident where a car ran into all these bicyclists, and she could very well have been one. And she realized that her grandmother saved her life. I love that story. I think it's so beautiful, and it feels very true and real for me. I feel my ancestors around me a lot, especially since in shamanism, I do a lot of honoring of my relatives, my ancestors. And I have found that it's been very grounding and healthy for me because I'm aware of a few skeletons in the family closet, you know, and like I remember hearing about one of my great-grandfathers, I think he was, and he was a street preacher in New Hope. And he preached all the time on this street corner, and he was well known. And then at some point, he just decided to leave his wife and all of his children. And he went to Texas, married another woman, had a bunch of children, gave them the same names. And so you can imagine, you know, it's like, wow, how do I carry that in my genetics? And how's that showing up, you know? And so anyway, there's other stories, but that one's pretty juicy. And so that's just so interesting, isn't it? And so in this, I really sat with things that I knew about the family, some of the heartaches and some of the hardships and how all of that shapes life in a family and how it affects how we relate to one another, how trusting we are or how open we can be. And so I got to a place where I could kind of giggle about our humanity, you know? I mean, I've done some crazy things myself, and I can look back on it now where there might have been shame. That's gone. It just went. And it's beautiful to have that inner peace where we get to celebrate each other exactly as we are. We're all on a journey, right? We're all the beloved forgetting herself very temporarily while we're in form so that she can come into her own awakening of herself and have a unique perspective of his herself as each one of us. And when you see it from that perspective, the celebration is not something you have to create. It's just something inside of you that comes from that place. That is perfect, just as we are. All the different levels of consciousness we experience, all the things we see deeply into, all the idiosyncrasies of our personalities, all of it. So great. And then we had Ryan. He was our final speaker. And Ryan shared of his father's suicide, and he could have dropped a pin in the room because everything got so quiet, and everyone at some level was able to relate to what he was expressing in that moment. And he totally had us. And he shared that he comes to the Dharma class meetings here, and he's been doing some heart practices, and his awareness has truly flowered, and he was just magnificent. Everyone was magnificent on Friday night. And I do hope you'll see the video if you get a chance. But isn't it lovely? I mean, some of these people have only been coming to the center for a few months, and they get invited to do this thing where they're going to bear their soul to us. And they get up here and they just shine, and it makes you realize that the mystery of each one of us holds so much beauty. Am I going long? Oh, okay. 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 I thought, oh, I didn't realize I'd been going that long. It's just, I don't know. It just takes my breath away. You know, when I'm in satsang and David and I do these different little exercises sometimes, or when someone is sharing that they're struggling with a particular trigger or some aspect of themselves they don't like or whatever it is, and I'm given this great honor, is what it feels like to me, to sit with someone who is fearlessly turning toward the very thing that seems to be the deepest pain, the deepest annoyance. And in that moment, it's like I am sitting with a master, because I am. Because it takes so much courage to drop out of the story or try to spin a new one and to just cut through all of that and get right down into what's real here. To want what's real instead of our ideas of how it should look. It's just powerful. And then they break through and they begin to see how something new has been created over something else, and layers of storytelling and trying to get it right. All of it, again, so deeply innocent and pure. We are pure innocence at our core. We've never really even done anything wrong, no matter what you think you've done. You've never really got it wrong. And that's a hard pill for most people to swallow, because they're pretty sure they got a lot to do to fix themselves. But all of that fixing or wanting to fix only gives you the experience of needing fixing. And you begin to see the whole loop and how it works. And you're seeing it with pristine clarity and full-on heart embrace. And you're just going, oh my God, I'm awake. I can see it. I see it. I'm the awakeness that can see this. I am the awareness that can see that there is something here that isn't real and true. The awareness gets overlooked for the focus on what we think needs to change. Yet the awareness is the constant, the one forever presence. You are. in form or out. We are totally magnificent, and we've been sold a bill of goods innocently by people that didn't know. So we come here. We take turns speaking, singing, sharing, going to classes together, doing events together. We do all of this to help each other remember. Someone says, well, you've been coming here for a long time now. You know, and I'm like, it feels right to be here for me. I don't ever want to stop coming. I don't ever want to stop growing. I don't ever want to feel that I've arrived somewhere. What a dead zone, right? I would like to take you on a brief journey, a shamanic journey. And this is how we will close. So I'd like for you to get really comfortable in your seat. This is my New Year gift to you. And we're going to take a journey into our bodies. And we're going to become light. And we're going to traverse every little part inside of our body. And as I go into certain body parts, you might say, yeah, but my gallbladder was taken out 25 years ago. Well, you know what? It's still got an energetic imprint that's there and what doesn't go away. You're still whole, with or without parts. So we're going to honor all of that. And so if the mind argues a point, just know it's being innocent in that moment. And you can close your eyes if that feels good to you. Just let the rattle carry you out of ordinary mind into expansive mind. And in your mind's eye, let's start at the top of your head and enter into your skull and look at your luscious, wonderful, beautiful brain. And you, being the light of awareness, call forth the light in your brain. And you see it firing electrically, beautiful little streaks of light all over your brain. Healthy, radiant, brilliant. And now you journey into your eyes, which are an extension of your brain, and your face, your beautiful jaw line, and your ears, and all through that profound neck that holds that head up. And just feel the beauty of all of this, and let the light shine in every corner. See the blood circulating through the veins, sparkling with healing light, beautiful warmth, love, the healing power of love light, your truth. And now we're journeying through our shoulders and down our arms and into our hands, back up into the armpits and down through the torso, into the left and right breast, into the lungs, the spleen, the liver, the gallbladder, the pancreas, the small intestines, the large intestines, reproduction organs, and let the light shine, sparkling, dazzling, healing light, love, And now let that light flow through your hips and down through your legs and your muscles, tendons, into your knees. They carry such a load. Let the light shine, let the warmth be felt, the healing energy of your own love light. And through your calves, down through your ankles, through your feet, all over your feet. Let the light just sparkle like your fireworks are going off from your feet. So much healing happening there. Now let's journey all the way back up to the heart. Nestle down in the heart. See the aorta, how do we say that? See all those channels and look at your luscious heart and the intelligence that's beating it naturally. And see again, see that blood flowing, sparkling light, beautiful radiant warmth, love light that you are shining as your own heart and beating to the rhythm of your life. And now become your breath. Fill up your lungs and feel the beauty of you being breathed by this intelligent love and light. And let it settle. Feel yourself embracing every aspect of your insides. All the emotions that are linked energetically. Sometimes we store our anger in our gallbladder, our sadness in our liver, our grief in our lungs. Let them be filled right now. Not with the sad memories of loved ones gone, but of the pure joy and privilege of having lived and known them and loved them. And see how that feels in your body. The love is here. The love you feel for them is right here, right now, embracing you as you embrace them in your heart. Oh.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information, please visit www.cslhuntsville.org.